Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journey series, interviews with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers. Today we continue our conversation with Edward Jones. Well, this is Dick Staub back with you. We're visiting with Edward Jones. His new book is All Aunt Hager's Children. You just said before the break, I have a job to do and I'm just trying to do my job. Mm-hmm. What is the job of the writer?
To tell stories. That's it, you know, ultimately to tell stories in the best way they possibly can. That's it, and, you know, it's, I can't think of anything else that beyond that, you know. I don't go around giving speeches. I don't sit on panels because I don't think what I have to say is all that important. The only important thing is whatever's between the covers of the book.
See, I find that refreshing. And actually, I wonder what the next generation is going to have to write about because they spend so much of their time being bombarded by the external world, electronically, television, movies, you know, games.
Yeah.
And
cell phones.
It seems like you're definitely a writer who writes from the inside out. Mm. You have a core. Mm. That is who you are, and you're telling stories out of that.
Yeah.
Whereas today's young person views identity almost like a rack of clothes that they put on. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely think that the caliber of people has been diminished over the years. I'm not sure what it is, what you can attribute it to.
One of the themes that tell me if this would be accurate. I'd say thematically, a lot of these stories are about hope that goes either without fulfillment or some lack of reward in the hope. I'm reminded of the Paul Simon lyric, don't know a soul that's not been battered, don't have a friend who feels at ease, don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. And you get the sense in a lot of these people's lives of this mixture of hope. And you know, the very first story where we meet Ruth and Aubrey, and you have this great sense of hope for this newlywed couple, and they head off to Washington, D.C. with this great hope. But the story unfolds in ways, and you come to care about both of them, and yet you come to realize that the hopes that particularly he had are not going to be realized.
Yeah, well, the thing is The stories, a lot of them use major and minor characters from Lost in the City.
Yes.
Now, and they follow the numbers according to Lost in the City as well. So the first story in each book are related. The first stories are related. In Lost in the City, there is the girl raised pigeons, and she's given them by a man, a barber, who is about 55 years old in 1955. He gives her the pigeons. His name is Miles. And is just really quick, but the girl and her father are visiting Miles at his house. He lives with his parents. And they speak briefly, this married couple who have this son who's 55. So even though in the story that leads off Alan Hager's children, there is a sense that, well, everything is done with for them, perhaps there's not. You know, they don't have names in the girl raised pigeons. But when at the very end of that story, in the blink of God's eye, the first story in the book, he leaves after seeing his wife and this baby that she's adopted. He wanders off from them and he's heartsick because he loves her and he misses her. So the thing the reader might want to speculate on is whether or not that
What's
love
next?
Will take him back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because she loves him,
yes.
But she fears that, you know, he doesn't care enough about the child
right.
to want to raise this child, this orphan that she found.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's her whole thing, you know. She knows that he can take care of himself, but who's to care for this child?
The last sentence in that chapter is, his heart was pained, and it was pain enough to overwhelm a city of men.
My editor, Don Davis, keeps saying that I should be arrested for creating such a sentence because it's so heartbreaking.
Well, I just, when I thought about the theme of D.C. and the pain enough to overwhelm a city of men.
Yeah, that it's related to every, all to the men that go that have fallen.
Well, when we look at the men in these stories, I mean, these guys, they're some of them are scoundrels, some of them are ne'er-do-wells, some of them are tender-hearted guys, but they all have these kind of lives of pain. And yet in Spanish in the Morning, the very next story, it starts with, "In the days before I first started kindergarten, the men in my life came from here and there." And there's these stories of all these men with this little girl heading off to kindergarten coming to bring her gifts and give her a sense of hope. I mean, it's very touching. How would you characterize the men in the range of men in these stories?
Well, I think they're all across the spectrum. You know, there's a guy in Old Boys, Old Girls who has murdered two people. They're all over the place. You know, there's a man who's in his 70s, who's retired and lost his wife and is running around chasing young girls. And the father in Spanish in the Morning is a good person. He's a good father. He loves his kids. The young man in the title story, All Ortega's Children, is 23, 24, a Korean War veteran. But he's stuck in a kind of boyish world. And it takes the events of that story to set him on the right path.
That story was really interesting because of the synchronicity of, you know, three women who beat a man in the South and head to D.C. to get away from it. And now a murder. And this young guy's been commissioned by the women to solve the murder. And you know, as you say, it's a coming of age story for him in a certain sense. He's got this illusion that he's going to go to Alaska and
get gold. And then he can come back and have his pockets will be bulging with gold, like little boys' pockets are bulging with candy. See, that's his problem. You know, his other problem, my niece would say, he has issues, and one of his top issues is women. The story, I deliberately set that out so that in the past, there are men when those girls are still in Alabama. But everything in Washington, there is only one man. Everything else is female, even the dogs and the bird. He has a brother, and they talk, but the brother's words are never quoted. It's just summarized. He has a friend he works for, but that friend is in Israel. And when he talks again, it's just a quick summary. So the entire world in Washington for him is nothing but women.
But here's what's interesting to me. I guess it seems like, as I talk to you, part of your strength as a storyteller is that you are just telling stories, but it's not growing out of a kind of an agenda driven by the analysis of the situation.
And you were talking about the relationship among the stories. Well, I do them each individually, and I'm the last person to be able to say, well, this one relates to that one because they share themes. I'm in the thick of it, and I just work to do them. I have to leave it up to someone else and come along and say, well, look, you know, there are things that are repeated over and over in these stories.
Isn't that amazing? But that's the work of good writing, I think. We're going to be back with some concluding comments with Edward Jones. You can pick up his newest book, All Aunt Hager's Children. It's available right now. It's a series of short stories. Great reading, great characters. It'll take you into a world that you probably don't know, which is another function of good stories. And it'll do it in a way that brings an appreciation for language and beauty that makes it an enjoyable reading experience. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
Join us for our next podcast with Edward Jones. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.